the things that we failed in, the things that we didn't do right. Because this is the time that God will recognize this person I can use again. This person I can use again because he humbled himself, because he or she know that he failed, and I will take it from here. Hallelujah. I'll take it from here. I was thinking about the whole Bible, you know. A lot of stories. People or nations, if they write their resume, they will write great things. But they will write again a lot of failures. For example, the nation of Israel or the Israelites. If they write their resume, God, first they will put, God have chosen us, right? This is a good thing. We are the chosen one. Good. Good for you. We have been protected by God. Our God have worked miracles in our lives. We have been delivered from Egypt. We have been crossed the Red Sea. We crossed the river, and it was full to the end. We did. God did miracles. How about you now? In Micah 7:1 explains this part of the resume of the Israelites. Okay? My English is so bad, so forgive me. This is the part that I feel like if the Israelites want to write the resume, full resume, everything that they went through and the failure, they would write this. Dina, can you read it from 7:1?
Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat for the first ripe fruit which my soul desires.
Go on.
The faithful man has perished from the earth.
So, part of the resume of Israelites, the faithful man have what? There's no faithfulness. Yeah, go ahead.
And there is no one upright among men.
Mm-hmm.
They all lie in wait for blood.
Can we write this in our resume? By the way, I lie. I lie good. If I want to lie, I lie good. This is our resume. Their resume. Go ahead.
Every man hunts his brother.
I hunt my brother. You know, I'm good at hunting my brother. I wait for my brother to do anything bad, and then I hunt. I don't let go mistakes of my brother. I don't do that. This is my resume. Go ahead.
That they may successfully do evil with both hands.
Successfully do what? If I'm so successful to do evil, I am good at it. I am good at doing evil. Look at my resume.
The prince asks for gifts, and the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire.
I'm not gonna comment this because I don't understand. Go ahead.
Best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchmen and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity.
Okay. This is until what?
That's 4.
4, yeah. This is the resume of a nation. A big group of people. This is their resume. Right now, those are the same people that the God did miracles in their lives, brought them from the land of slavery, and did wonderful things in their lives. This is their resume right now. And then the Lord says, the best of them is like what? Prior?
Mm-hmm.
the most, مش عارف ايه, I don't know. Yes.
Sharper than a thorn.
And then it says, the day God visits you has come. The day of visitation has come. This resume have to stop here. This failure thing have to stop here, because the Lord wants to visit you. The Lord wants to change your status from failing in every part in your life into a success. The day of visitation has come. The day that the Lord will visit you has come. When I thought about this part, I thought about the time of visitation. You know, Jesus talked about Israel, oh, if you know your time of visitation, you know. Normally, if we think about this verse like, you know, Israel had a time of visitation and they what? They missed it. This is why they are living in this miserable life. As if the time of visitation is one chance with God. It's not like that. The time of visitation, the day of visitation, the day that the Lord wants to visit is every time. The day of visitation is every day. The chance is every moment. Every day there is a chance for God's visitation. Hallelujah. Today is the day of visitation. Today is the day of visitation in your life, for your life. For me, my life, it's time for visitation. When God visits, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God visits, bring joy, bring restoration, bring correctness, bring a lot of, you know, blessing to your life. Well, I remember when we used to live still, I used to live in Egypt, and my sister that used to live here comes to visit us in Egypt, brings all kind of gifts, you know, clothes, toys, and wonderful things that we have never seen, you know, because she lives in America and we live in Egypt, and all what we see is like small, very limited stuff. Yeah, but when she comes, she brings all the gifts that we was. Oh wow! Ooh, look at this. I remember when she brought us those keychains that you whistle and it goes sound, do sound. I was like, wow! Look at this. This keychain, you can whistle and she whistle back or whatever. I was like, wow! Wonderful. Time of visitation. From the Lord. Can you imagine when the Lord comes and visit? Can you imagine a visitation from the Lord? Okay, let me ask another question. Do you think you need a time of visitation from the Lord? I need it. A big time I need it. Big time. The time, the day God visits you has come. And then everything will change from verse, like from 1 to 4. This is a story, but then another story, another different story. The day has come that the Lord will visit you. The day your watchman sounds alarm, the alarm. And this is part of our life. It should, there is like, if there is failure in my life, there should be alarms. Going, you know, alarms goes on, because some of the things that I do, it's, if you allow the Holy Spirit, it will be big, huge sound of alarms. Yeah, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. If you look at your life, your spiritual life, if you look at your relationships with my kids, with my wife, with my colleagues, friends, brothers and sisters, should be, there's alarm. Now is the time of confusion. Does it say this in your I was like, you know, I laughed when I read this. was like, okay, time of visitation or time of that the Lord will visit you, it's good, yeah? Exciting. The Lord will come and visit you. And sound of alarm, not bad. Even though it's like scary a little bit, if God wants to show me something in my life and alarm goes on, it's a little bit scary. But then it says, now is the time of your confusion. Now is the time of your confusion. Good news! The time of confusion will start. And when I looked at the word confusion, what does it mean? What does it mean, confusion? Confusion is lack of understanding and uncertainty. Lack of understanding and uncertainty. And the state of being bewildered or unclear about something. The mind is not clear about something, you know? But the best definition of confusion, it's puzzled, puzzlement, yeah? Which is the way I understand it with my broken English. Puzzlement is like you don't understand what's happening, why? You're in a great confusion. And I remembered, I don't know if you like this or not, when I was doing, you know, those puzzles, 500 puzzle piece, you know, and you hold one piece and you would like stare at the picture for like long time and say, where does this fit? Where? I can't understand. Where can I put this? And sometimes
situations in our lives, we hold it like this and say, I don't understand. It's not clear for me. Where can I fit this in my life? I'm puzzled. I'm not clear. I'm confused. Why this happened to me? Why this happened to me? Why this problem happened to me? I can't fit it in my life. Why this failure? Didn't I do my homework? I prepared well. I did good job in, you know, searching and doing research and everything I did. Why my business didn't work? Didn't I do a search on the area? I did everything. Why this is happening for me? Why my family is broken? Why my kids is like this? Why my spiritual life is like this? Why my wife is like this? Why my husband is like this? Why? Where do I fit this in my life? I don't understand. This is a time of confusion. Why? It's a good confusion. This is a very good confusion. You know why? Because the verse after it. It says that this is a time of your confusion. I want to confuse. God brings confusion. Good confusion. Why? Because it says, do not trust what? A neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with the woman who lies in your embrace. Don't trust. Don't put your trust in anyone. I want to confuse the trust that you put in people. This is the time of your confusion to confuse you to not trust people anymore. No, I'm not talking about the good trust, but I'm talking about relying on people. I want to confuse you in this area so you give up the trust on people And you start what? Trusting me. It's okay. It's okay that you stop trusting in your resources. It's okay. Even if God allows us to stop trusting the resources that we have. It's okay. Because God wants us to take us to a new level of trust in Him. It's okay. It's okay. This is the time of confusion. This is the time of uncertainty. This is the time of puzzlement. The Israelites needed to know that. Because they relied on people. Let me see what Egypt will do for you. Let me see what Ashur will do for you. Let me see. I want you to know that those people will not stand, will not help you anymore, because I am your help. I am your Savior. Verse number 6. Number 7. It says this. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. Hallelujah. I failed because I relied on people. I relied on my resources. I relied on my bank account. I relied on my insurance. I relied on my. I failed. But today, Lord, thank you for bringing confusion to trust those things. As for me, as for now, as from this moment, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. Isn't it that beautiful? Isn't it that a great change from in the resume, from trusting people, from relying on people, into relying on God and trusting God? I will wait for my God, my Savior. My God will hear me. Hallelujah. My God will hear me. Verse number 8. Do not gloat. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. I like it in Arabic. لا تشمتي بي عدوتي. فإن سقطت أقوم means do not gloat on me, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Because even if I fail, I will rise. I will rise. Hallelujah. My resume today: enemy, do not rejoice over me, do not gloat over me. Because if I fail, I will rise. Trusting my Lord, my Savior. Waiting in hope in my Savior. Waiting in hope in my Savior. In my God, I will rise. I will rise. You know why? Because the Word of God says that the righteous fall 7 times and rise. Today. How many times you fall today? If it's not over 7, hallelujah, praise the Lord. A good news for you, that you will rise today. That there is hope today. There is hope today, but it's not, I'm joking. Even if it's over 7 times. It's just, he bought the number of completion. 7 is the number of completion. That even if you are totally what? Fallen. If you are totally 100% failure, I will trust in the Lord, my Savior, and I will rise. This is my new resume today. This is my church broken. My church has been splitted in my time. And I'm so sorry to use this example. But Last Sunday that we worshipped with the pastor downstairs, I was like, this pastor, in his time, the church was sold. Can he write this in his resume? Like, in my time, the church failed and it was sold. I was like, wow. How does he feel now? And I felt like, you know what? It's okay. Because even if I fail, I will rise. I will rise. This is the hope that God wants us to have today. This is the hope. In your spiritual life, in your commitment reading the Bible, in your prayer, in your relationship with your family, in your relationship with your brothers and sisters and parents, or in your health, in your whatever. If you came here 100% failure, there is hope in the Lord that He will rise you up. Raise you up. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I, listen to this. Though I sit in the darkness. And another translation, I think King James says, though I dwell in the darkness. Sit in the darkness, maybe it's like, okay, I sit in the darkness and I walk or rose a bit or leave the darkness, but dwell in the darkness, that means I sat, drank tea, and had a relationship in the darkness, and you know, darkness, darkness, I dwell in the darkness, I'm comfortable. The place of dwelling is the place that you are comfortable. But even if I am comfortable in the darkness, the Lord is my light. But the following verse says, He will bring me out of darkness. He doesn't want me to be in the darkness. So, though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit or dwell in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against Him, I will bear the Lord's wrath until He pleads my case, until He uphold my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I failed to live in the light. But today, there is hope that God will bring you out to the light. Whatever this darkness is, whatever this darkness is that you are dwelling in, trust, have hope into your Savior, my Savior, our Savior, that He will bring us out of the darkness into the light. I will see His righteousness. Not only that, I will not only me will see my righteousness, but another thing, the enemy, then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. Hallelujah. Not enemy, not human, not man, but the enemy, my enemy will be covered by shame. Amen. Failure is okay. To fail is okay. But to live in a spirit of failure is not okay. Okay? Again, to fail is okay. All of us have fallen into things on or doing things. I remember the first time I fall into an exam. I was like, wow. Kahka. Failed. I got F in math. I was like, wow, this is very not comfortable. Very bad feeling. But it's okay. But to live as a failure is not okay. God does not want us to live under the spirit of failure. God wants us to rise up. Listen to this. Freedom would be more appreciated by those who were imprisoned, right? If you tried prison, you will appreciate freedom a lot more, much, much more. How many of you didn't try prison? Rise up your hand. Didn't try prison. Okay. You live in freedom. So you don't know the real meaning of freedom. But ask someone who was in prison and now he's free, he would know the real meaning of freedom. He will appreciate it more. Right? So freedom is more appreciated by those who experienced in prison. Life will be more appreciated by those who attacked by death. Oh, it's gonna be die. He's on the edge of death. And then bring him back to life, he will appreciate life more. Right? The same with failure. Success will be more celebrated by people who have experienced failure. Will be more celebrated. Will be more rejoiced by people who have experienced failure. I just wrote some examples. After he was kicked out of his high school basketball team, and he went home and cried in his room, he rose up, started to practice, and he became Michael Jordan. He was kicked out from high school team. I was like, no, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. They were right. Go home. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I don't know who is he even. I know that he's a good basketball player. No, not good. Kobe, I think, broke his record. Yeah?
Of course.
Last year. Anyway. After being told to his mom, your child is not clever enough. He will never be good. He will never be good. This child became Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein. He was failure in the school. Steve Jobs. He was fired from the company that he established. But he came back and he founded or established Apple. How many of you have iPhone? Anyway. Celebrating success will be more celebrated when it comes from people who have failed. Right? Right? Paul. Paul, if he writes his resume, will be very interesting. Right? Paul was very successful Jewish man. Jewish religious man. Right? He was very successful. So this part of his life, very successful. If he's continue to be Jewish and he writes his resume, every temple in Israel would like to hire him to be their pastor. Right? He is really good. And he writes this in his resume. But the life changed. He met his Savior. His Savior brought him out from the darkness into the light. And he says, I was persecuting the church. Yeah, this is his resume. Not only that, he writes very important thing in his life. He says, every time I tried to do good, I found evil present. This is his resume. He wrote it. He wrote it. He said, every time I try to do good, I find what? Evil comes out. I am failure, but I trust. I have hope in my Savior. This is why he became the greatest apostle. If Peter writes his resume, by the way, I denied Jesus in front of a very weak lady. That was me. That was me. I am a failure. But he stood in front of thousands of people to preach the gospel. And 3,000 people came to Christ. Because he put his hope in his Savior to bring him out of this fear into boldness. Not boldness. Boldness. Hallelujah. He trusted. If I write my resume, will be good, very good stuff. But a long list of failures. But you know what? I trust in my Savior. I trust in my God that He will bring me out of darkness into success. Amen? Amen? I just remembered, as I was preparing this, when we moved to Sudan, I remember I put a proposal for a project, a ministry that I wanted to do. You know, this ministry didn't fail because it didn't see the light. It didn't happen. I felt big, fat failure. I felt big. I am a big, fat failure. The first thing I planned for in Sudan failed. I wrote a nice proposal. Good proposal. I prayed. I did everything. But I failed. You know? But the Lord was with me. This is why. This is Joseph. Joseph, his life was miserably failing. His dreams, failed big time. But the Lord was with him. This is why he made it. Hallelujah. This is why he made it. If we put the standard according to the world, I'm closing, okay? So don't worry about lunch. If we measure our lives according to the standards of the world, maybe we'll be a big, huge, fat failures. Right? And some areas we're good. We're fine. But the right measurement of success and failure, I want to leave with you this idea. Only this idea. Remember this. Is the Lord with you or not? If you have the Lord in your sight, believe that you are successful. You are successful. If the Lord is not in your sight, if you have your life minus the Lord, you're a big, fat failure. I'm so sorry to say it like this. But I'm an upper Egyptian. I don't know how to, you know. Sorry. The real success, successful or success, is the Lord is in your sight. And then the world standard, how much money you have, what job you have, how many kids, how many so and so and so, how big is your house, and all those standards, it doesn't matter. The only thing matters is the Lord is with you. This is what made the difference. This is what made the difference in the Israelites, with the Israelites. They're living, relying on neighbors, friends, people, nations, other gods even. But then someone said, no, I'm not going to continue like this. As for me, I hope in my God. As for me, I trust in the Lord. As for me, I trust my Savior. This is the real success. Amen? Let's stand together.